I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. As always, it's my pleasure and absolute honor to be joined by my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister Zainab.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really
absolute
honored.
Pleasure. Today's topic of discussion on Muslim Lady is plastic surgery.
These days, mm-hmm. I have witnessed men do plastic surgery to please women. If women were happy with the existing shape of a man, he would not bother go under so much hardships and money and this and that to change his figure, right? So he sees the need, he has come across the need to make some physical changes to himself, yep. to be more desirable, yep. more lovable, more romantic, and etc. Now, why?
Why are women demanding such a thing?
Did your mommy or did my mom or did my aunt or did the woman in my family demand this standard of physical attraction from their husbands
yes.
back then in the 20 years ago? I'm looking around my family, and because people come from different cultures and different backgrounds. That's why
sure.
we have... The first time I saw a man around me who has someone that I know who has done an operation was my cousin
mm-hmm.
who did nose job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about like 20 years ago. He wanted to get married.
Right.
Rhinoplasty, exactly. He wanted to get married, and his wife wanted him to do a nose job. So he did it for her sake.
Nice.
Right? These days, my finding
mm-hmm.
was that...
Your personal finding?
My personal
mm-hmm.
findings. Okay. My father doesn't have a perfect face. Neither does my mom.
Mm.
But they never inquired any kind of plastic surgery from each other.
Mm.
Never,
beauty
ever.
Is in the eyes of the beholder.
Exactly. Or like my aunties from paternal, maternal, any of my families, my
from
relatives.
From another generation.
From the past 2 or 3 decades ago,
mm.
none of them had any form of plastic surgery, and none of them were inquired or requested to do so. Women were happy with the present form and figure and physical.
Were they happy or did they not have the choice?
They were happy, Zainab, because number one, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And number two, aesthetic standards vary from time to time.
That's natural. You can't hold it against any generation.
No, it's natural.
Like during the time of my grandfather, I know this because my dad told me. I never actually met my grandfather from either side. But he said the beauty standard back then was, you know, chubby, fair women, because it was a sign of their
health.
That they were affluent, and they were well-fed, that they were from wealthy,
and they could
able families.
Bring children.
And then there was a time where, you know, like...
Barbies came. Standards of beauty changed.
Yep.
And so anorexic women appeared, and a lot of these illnesses
eating
disorders and, you know, psychological disorders and depressions and this and that, and always feeling that you're not pretty enough, you're not beautiful enough, and always having this sense that my nose is like this, my skin is like that, my eyebrows, my eyes, my lips,
this
my
sort
chin.
Of insecurity has existed among women since forever.
No,
yes,
I don't
it
think.
Has since
like,
ancient Egypt.
Maybe ancient Egypt. They had their own cultures. I am so shocked that when I go around talking to people, I see many of them have got done nose jobs. Like, they have changed most of the figures, like
Botox
into their chins, into their nose, into their
cheeks
bones, everything. And this is something that has become prevalent, like, in every family, in every, maybe, I don't have the exact statistics, but as a person living in this society, out of every 10, I see, like, if back then, 30 or 4 decades ago, these days, out of 10, 3 or 4 people, I'm not talking about like very fashionable or stylish families, very normal families, 3 or 4 have done something changing their faces.
Why do you think it's bad though?
It's not bad. I'm just saying
that. I mean,
that
if they can afford it, why not? If it makes them happier and they're not hurting themselves.
When you take the feedback from the people seeing these ladies who have done plastic changes to their, it's not called plastic surgery, it's called Botox injection.
Botox injections.
Or even plastic surgeries. They say that she looked like these women that I've seen, they looked beautiful prior to the surgeries. Mm. And they just need that I have to do it. That she really didn't need that rhinoplasty. She went after she did it. Most of the relatives, they were of the opinion that she looked prettier before the surgery.
Well, that's their opinion.
I'm saying that it's a matter of taste. It's a matter of me feeding this into your mind that if you do rhinoplasty, you're going to look more pretty. You're going to have more self-confidence. You're going to have less depression. Right? So
there is an undeniable problem where a lot of societies, especially those societies that are not necessarily third world, but not that I like using this term, but those that are heading toward like modernism, their beauty standards are very westernized. They've got that Anglo-Saxon idealism for what
beauty
should be. And well, European people, a lot of them, a lot of those regions, they have smaller, more carved noses, and they have certain shaped lips and certain and more prominent jaw lines. And okay, this is a problem, right? I agree with you. For us to compare ourselves with a totally different race, a totally different ethnicity from a totally different continent, and criticize our appearance for not looking like them, yeah, this is an official problem. And it stems from colonialism. It stems from capitalism. It stems from mass media and pop culture. And it should be dealt with.
Right. And by the way, according to the statistics, an increase of 446% in cosmetic procedures from 1997 to 2012 in America has been witnessed. So when you were saying in the beginning of the program, yeah, that these procedures were always existent in society, they were rare. Maybe not even 1%. I don't know. I shouldn't say any number or statistics. But even in the past couple of 7 years, the procedures have become 446% more. This is statistics. And 20 years ago, people were ashamed
to walk in
and say, I want to have like this plastic or cosmetic surgery procedure done on my face or my body. It was something that like people did not accept it freely. And it wasn't something prevalent. The reason why a lot of these women, young and old women, even like not elderly, but middle-aged women, I know like one of my mom's friends, she's in her 50s and she got her nose job done 2 years ago. It really depends on the phase in your life that you are in. Anyhow, so one of the solutions that these days the Western world, because they have created this problem.
For sure.
That, you know, they are the models like the Miss Beauty, Miss World.
Yeah, beauty pageants.
The beauty pageants. They offer you, they don't offer you, they dictate a kind of standard for girls to follow, to pursue in their life, right? And so if I'm not that tall, if my lips are not that size, if my chin
or my nose, my complexion,
whatever, my all parts of my body is
my
not
waist
like hers,
to chest
hips,
ratio,
chest,
yeah,
legs, feet, everything, then I'm not pretty enough.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So we've been discussing the topic of plastic surgery.
The solution is that recently they have come up with the idea of having models, which are, as you said, oversized models, plus sized. You show the reality of how you are. Or on Instagram, I've seen a lot of women who have given birth and they show their stretch marks.
Mm.
And they say,
normalize it.
They're trying to normalize the deficiencies or, you know.
Let's just call them changes. Because that's what it is.
Men look at it as, you know.
No, I think we fuel it into the minds of the men to an extent. You know, if a woman stands in front of the mirror 10 times a day, and each 10 times she says a little out loud, oh my God, look at my belly. It's so poochy. Oh, look at my rolls. Oh my God, my legs. Oh my God, look at these stretch marks. I'm so ugly.
No.
She says this 10 times a day. The next day, the man is going to begin to believe it. But if the woman stands in front of the mirror and says, I'm so proud of what my body did for me this year, you know? Oh, look at these stretch marks. Finally, I'm in the mommy club. I'm in the stretchy club. Or, oh, looks like I picked up some weight. I ate well
this
year.
You're talking about an infallible husband.
No, sweetie. I'm talking about if we're going to say, my wife is 32 and she gave birth to two beautiful, healthy kids. Of course their bodies are going to be different.
That would be a very understanding man.
No, that's a reasonable man.
Why do you think watching Instagram?
Yeah, if it goes
and
through some sort of abnormal change to the point that her breasts are lopsided. Yes, I understand that. Even if she didn't have a husband, she would look weird in a dress.
No, Zaina, I disagree. Because, of course, their bodies are not the same as they used to be. And for them, that kind of shape is totally normal.
Okay, then that's their culture. See, there you said.
What?
You said the word normal.
Okay.
I said if it's abnormal, she's allowed to go
through
some changes.
Who defines normal?
The society,
my culture.
Their culture.
Exactly. Instagram defines
they
it for me.
They didn't have Instagram in that tie, in that tribe.
No, I'm saying that.
Norm. I disagree with that too. But that's all the time we have, unfortunately. This is definitely a topic we are going to have to discuss furthermore. And if you want to join in our discussion, make sure to tune in to future episodes of Muslim Lady. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.